الحمد لله، الحمد لله الواحد الأحد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد رسوله الأمجد. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألم يأن الذين آمنوا أن تخشع قلوبهم لذكر الله وما نزل من الحق، ولا يكونوا كالذين أوتوا الكتاب من قبل فطال عليهم الأمد فقست قلوبهم وكثير منهم فاسقون. صدق الله العظيم. Honorable ulama and respected brothers, this ayat al-kareema which I have recited before you, the translation and the meaning of this particular verse before we move forward. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ يَأْنِنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Has the time not come? أَنْ تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ. Has the time not come for the hearts of the believers to submit to the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to submit to the truth that has been revealed? وَلَا يَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِ. Then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala warns us and says, do not become like those who were given the book before you. فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدِ. After which a long period of time elapsed. Such a period of time in which they were occupied in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as a result, فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Their hearts became hard. وَكَثِيرٌ مِّنْهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ. And hence a large number of them were sinners. They were transgressors of the limits and the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is talking about khushu of the heart. And the Mufassirin have written that what is the meaning of khushu of the heart? It means for the heart to soften, for the heart to submit so that it can heed the advice. Heed the advice of what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of two things. لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, the remembrance of Allah. Here the Mufassirin mention it refers to the Qur'an. وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ, the second thing, the truth which has been revealed. Here again the ulama mentioned it refers to the Qur'an. So in a nutshell, this, the first part of this particular verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking the question that has the time not come for the hearts of the believers to submit to the teachings, the commands and the instructions of the Qur'an al-Kareem. Thereafter Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions to us, وَلَا يَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِ. Do not become like those who were given the book before you. فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدِ. A long time had passed wherein they were occupied with the disobedience of Allah. فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. And their hearts became hard. So Allah asks us one question and thereafter He gives us a warning. And we're going to base our discussion on this question asked by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It's a rhetorical question, meaning the answer is an obvious one. And then the warning given by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But before we proceed, let me give you the shan-e-nuzul. Let me give you some background as to why this verse was revealed. Imam A'mash rahmatullah alayhi, the great mufassir of the Qur'an al-Kareem, he says, and this is the month, the first month of the Islamic calendar, and we know the Islamic calendar started off with the hijrah. He says, after the hijrah, when the Sahaba had migrated from Makkatul Mukarramah to Madinatul Munawwara, then the degree of comforts was somewhat better than what it was in Makkatul Mukarramah. When I use this word comforts, I use it very hesitantly, because we must not understand comfort and luxury in our times, or in the way we understand it, or in the way we enjoy it. What it meant was, we still had those Sahaba, as narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu an, that the Ashabu Sufa was so poor, sometimes he used to pass out and fall unconscious due to the severe pangs of hunger. We still had the condition where the Sahaba had to tie stones to their bellies. But in terms of what they were facing in Makkatul Mukarramah, it was somewhat better in Madinatul Munawwara. And as a result, the exertion had just deteriorated slightly. There wasn't that degree of exertion in terms of the extra ibadat that they used to perform. In terms of how they used to go and, exert themselves in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Makkatul Mukarramah, there was a slight relaxation, there was a slight decrease in Madinatul Munawwara. Upon the slight relaxation and decrease, not with regards to that which was compulsory, but with regards to that which was optional, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately asked the question of the Sahaba, that has the time not come for your hearts to totally submit to the commands of the Quran, to the instructions of the Quran, to the lessons and the advices which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made mention of in the Quran? Now, although this particular verse was revealed at that particular time, it is not only in reference to the Sahaba, but the question is being asked of us and it will be continued to be asked until the day of Qiyamah. Allah is asking us, O believers, has the time not come for your hearts to submit to the teachings of the Quran? Now imagine this question was asked of the Sahaba when there was a slight decrease in the exertion as far as the nawafil and optional acts of ibadat were concerned. Today, what is our condition? The pillar of Islam, the most important aspect after Iman, Salah, we have not fulfilled the rights of Salah. Let us not go on to Zakah and Hajj and the other pillars of Islam. What is our condition as far as the hijab of a women folk are concerned? As far as keeping the beard of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is concerned? As far as abstaining from ghibah, abstaining from interest, abstaining from zina? These are those things which are compulsory upon us to carry out, which are compulsory upon us to abstain from. The Sahaba were asked this question by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when they were, when they had decreased slightly in those actions which were optional. We need to ask ourselves this question to a greater degree, because we have seen a great degree of laxation, not a slight decrease, but a great degree of laxation, lethargy and apathy as far as the fundamentals of Islam are concerned, as far as the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are concerned, as far as the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are concerned. Now the Mufassirin have pointed out, in this particular verse, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ, that your hearts must submit. Allah did not say that you must submit, or insan must submit, or humans must submit, or Muslims must submit. Allah says your hearts must submit. Now why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala single out this particular organ? Why did he not refer to insan as a whole? The Mufassirin have written, it is because all actions are based upon the submission of the heart. If the quality of the heart is not what it's supposed to be, if the condition of the heart is not what it's supposed to be, then the actions of that particular person is not what it's supposed to be. You see, the ulama have mentioned that today we hear this recurring question. What is the need of the time? What is the greatest need that is facing this particular ummah? What is the greatest challenge? We know what the ummah is going through. That is not, it's not unknown to any Muslim, no matter where he may live in the world. And it is known to everybody that the ummah is going through trying times and testing times. And that's why it is expected that this question will be asked. What is the need of the time? What is required from us? So that we don't have to go through this kind of oppression, and we don't have to go through this kind of suffering for any considerable period, for any time longer. The question has been asked, and the ulama have been giving the answer, that the time for the reformation of the hearts has come. Our hearts have deteriorated, and as a result, our actions have deteriorated. So the time for the reformation of the hearts has come. We need to ask ourselves the question, that what is the condition of our hearts? Now, that was the question, the rhetorical question that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had posed. We'll move further on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us, وَلَا يَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِ, that do not become like those who were given the book before you. فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدِ, a long period of time lapsed in which they were occupied with the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ, their hearts became hard. Gradually it became harder and harder. Somebody comes to your door. You tell him, come inside. You tell him the first time. You tell him the second time. You tell him the third time. Ultimately, you will close the door in his face. Then even if he wants to come in, you won't allow him to come in. And he can never argue that I wasn't given an opportunity to come into the house. He was given ample opportunity. But due to his refusal, not once, not twice, but on a continuous basis, as a punishment, you have now slammed the door in his face. Similarly, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala tells the disbelievers, come to Iman, come to Iman, come to Iman. After continuous invitations, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hardens their hearts and he closes it off from hidayat and guidance. But this does not only refer to disbelievers. Even though we may be believers, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given us the Quran. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has left until the day of Qiyamah the Warathatul Anbiya, the ulama, and they continue to call us. The invitation is a perpetual one towards the Sirat-e Mustaqim, that you have deviated and you have gone very far. And continuously we are being reminded. Sometimes we are being reminded by lectures, other times we are being reminded by books. But many times Allah causes certain incidences to take place which ought to serve as a reminder for us. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us go through painful moments so that it can serve as a reminder for us. But unless we're not taking that reminder from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and our hearts are growing harder, it must not reach that stage as Allah describes in Surah Al-Baqarah, فَهِيَ كَالْحِجَارَةِ أَوْ أَشَدُّ قَصْوَى, that it becomes as hard as a rock, or as hard as a stone, or even harder than that. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala slams the door of hidayat and guidance, And thereafter, we remain in that particular state until we leave this dunya, until the time of our demise approaches. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from such a state. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the Quran al-Kareem as far as the qualities and the heart of the Jews were concerned. In Madinatul Munawwarah, the Bani Israel, they had come many years prior to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they came with the sole intention of meeting Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and bringing iman in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Yet when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam came, two things prevented them from accepting the message of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. The one was they couldn't stomach the fact that the last and final Nabi was not from the Bani Israel, but he was from the Bani Ismail. He was from their cousins, the progeny of Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, and not from the progeny of Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam, whose son was Yaqub, who was also known as Israel, hence we get the term Bani Israel. So that jealousy had overwhelmed them. That was the one reason. The second reason was this, that they were involved in bribery and corruption. And they knew if they became Muslims, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would put a stop to that. So this love for the dunya, they were not prepared to give it up. These two reasons prevented them from bringing iman on that very Nabi for whom they had waited for centuries. Their fathers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers had settled in Madinatul Munawwarah awaiting the arrival of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So they stooped so low because their hearts had become hard. Now we need to ask ourselves this question, that the Bani Israel had sold their iman for the pleasures of this dunya. They wanted that material benefit to continue. They wanted to satiate their nafs. They could not stomach the fact that the final Nabi had come from their cousins, and they wanted to maintain their supremacy over that particular region. These were the two reasons, both materialistic in nature, which made them sell their souls. They deprived themselves of iman to maintain these two aspects. Now the question we need to ask ourselves is this: how are we not allowing our hearts to become so hard that ultimately, waliyazu billah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us, that we will sell our deen? If not, we will compromise our deen to a great extent just to satiate our nafs and just to maintain those materialistic bounties which we are enjoying. That's why the ulama say we need to be very careful. When your heart starts to become hard, you need to eradicate that particular problem before it grows beyond your ability to rectify it. That's why the first sign of a hard heart, the ulama mention, is that the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes rife. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands are being broken left, right and center. And today if we introspect, if we look only at our situation, not the broader situation of the non-Muslims, then we will see we have moved far, you know, we have moved very far away from the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have moved very far away from the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So our hearts have become hard. But we need to save ourselves from that day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the decision and close the door of hidayat and guidance on us. So before that happens, we need to rectify the situation. The ulama have mentioned, I'm just going to, you know, narrate to you a few steps as far as islah, as far as reformation of the heart is concerned, so that we come back onto the sirat-e-mustaqim. When the ummah comes back onto the sirat-e-mustaqim, then we will see the changes, because then the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be encompassing us and enveloping us once again. Then the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be descending upon us once again. The first step towards reformation is to recognize the cause of the problem and to eradicate it. Now, what is the cause of the problem? Amongst many other causes, the ulama have singled out this one. They mentioned that it's the nature of men. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers His bounties upon us, when Allah grants us luxuries and comforts, then we fall into a state of ghaflat and we fall into a state of negligence. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned to that family who the father was a king, the son was a king, Allah had granted Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam such a kingship which will never be matched. He says, اعملوا آل داود شكرا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the family of Sulaiman and Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam that make shukr, be grateful unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states the reality and He says, وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ. That very few of my slaves are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now what, when we talk about gratefulness, when we talk about gratitude, when we talk about shukr, then we tend to limit it only to the verbal form of gratitude. But the best form of gratitude is that you use that very bounty which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That car, that money, that business, that house, You use it in such actions which entail the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the highest form of ingratitude is that you use the very bounty which Allah has given you. You use that bounty to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to break the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our problem is we have become enveloped and we have become engulfed with the life of luxury and comforts. And as a result, we have fallen into the state of negligence and we do not heed the warnings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, 1400 years ago, Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam knew that this time would come. He said, "Inna akhwafa ma atakhawwafu ala ummati." From those things which I fear the most for my ummah are the following two: al-hawa, desires, whims and fancies, wa tulul amal, long and distant hopes. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam went on to explain, "Wa amma al-hawa fa yasuddu anil haqq." That's your whims, your desires will, and your fancies, they will take you away from haqq. When you want money, when you are only driven by greed and avarice, when your only objective in life is based on materialism, then you will make concession after concession as far as the haqq is concerned and as far as the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned. وَأَمَّا طُولُ الْأَمَلْ فَيُنْسِ الْآخِرَةِ. These long and distant hopes and aspirations and aims and objectives that you have in life, it makes you forget the akhirah. Islam does not say you mustn't be ambitious. To a certain degree, it is commendable. To a certain degree, it is something which is necessary. Islam does not say you mustn't plan for the future. But today we have overdone ourselves. The ulama give an example. You would have a man who's 75. He's thinking about opening his 25th shop so that his great-grandchildren have a source of income. That is how far we have taken it. And as a result, we have forgotten totally about our akhirah. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has made it compulsory upon us to seek a livelihood so that our basic necessities are met and we can then dedicate ourselves to the worship of Allah. If there is no food in your stomach, your body will have no strength. How are you going to perform salah? But we forget the core objective for which we were created. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, "Wama khalaqtul jinna wal insa illa liya'budun." You have been created to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today we have negated that totally, and we have made earning a livelihood, earning money, prospering in this dunya the main objective. Now that we, you know the problem, we must never fall into this to the trap of shaitan. Shaitan will make us think that now whilst I'm young, let me worry about the cars, let me worry about the women, let me worry about starting the business. You know, salah, if I can, I'll perform it. If I can't, you know, I am really busy in the business. Asr time is really a very busy period. It's a peak period. Then what shaitan makes us think that later on in life, once I've made that first million, once I have enough to buy my house, buy a decent car, see to the education of my children, then I'll turn my attention to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First point there is we have no guarantee that we will live to see that day. But let's assume that we live to see that day. Let me remind you of the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a riwayat of Sahih Bukhari. La yazalu qalbu al-kabiri shabban fi ithnain. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam mentions that the heart of an old man will remain young as far as two things are concerned. No matter how old, how wrinkled, how hunchback you may become, your heart will remain young as far as two things are concerned. حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا وَطُولُ الْأَمَلِ. Love for this dunya and long and distant hopes. Your ambitions will never come. When it comes to the dunya, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, if Allah gives you two valleys full of gold, you'll wish for the third. And nothing will satisfy you until you go and you meet the dust of your grave. So that is the problem that we have fell in. And we have fallen into. And if we are not careful, we will end up as the Bani Israel. If we don't sell our deen for the material benefits of this dunya, we will make concession upon concession which will lead us to the fire of Jahannam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. The second step to reformation and the second step to rectifying the state of our heart is tawbah. But one is tawbah and we don't understand tawbah. One alim so beautifully mentions, he says, "Hum istighfar karte hai, tawbah nahi karte hai." Perhaps we seek forgiveness from Allah, that, "Oh Allah, forgive me for this sin that I may have committed." But we don't make tawbah. Allah has said, "Tawbu ilallahi tawbatan nasuha." The sincere tawbah, what does it mean? Hasan Basri rahmatullah alayhi has explained that if there are not three conditions in your tawbah, then that is not tawbah. Number one, you must regret. Do we regret the actions that we do? Although we acknowledge it's wrong, but very seldom do we regret. Number two, you must immediately abstain from that particular sin. How ironic, a person says, "I'm making tawbah," but he continues with that very sin. And number three, you must make a firm intention never to return to that particular sin. If these three conditions are not found, then that cannot be considered to be a tawbatan nasuha. Wallahi, if it's a tawbatan nasuha, the doors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy are ever open. We must never ever lose hope. We must never think that things have now gone beyond our control. There's nothing we can do. There's no turning back. We have reached that point beyond which there is no return. There is no such thing as when it comes to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As far as a collective, Allah subhanahu Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in a hadith that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will continue to accept tawbah until the sun rises from the west. That will be one of the major signs of Qiyamah. It will be a very short period before the day of Qiyamah. So until then, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is prepared to accept tawbah if we make tawbah and nasuha. And as far as the individual is concerned, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَقُبَلُ تَوْبَةَ الْعَبْدِ مَا لَمْ يُغَرْغِرْ. Until you don't experience that halat gharghara. You know, those very last moments of your life when that gurgling sound comes from the throat. After that, the tawbah is not accepted because now you can see the malaika, you can see the angels. You're already starting to move into the next life. Now everybody will become a Muslim because you can see either the reward or the punishment that you're going to receive. Until you haven't reached that stage, no matter how sick you may be, no matter how ill you may be, no matter how old you may be, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ready to accept our tawbah, providing it's a tawbah and nasuha. It is mentioned in a hadith, every morning Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala stretches out his hand in a way that is, most deserving of his status and grandeur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is willing to forgive the sins of the night. Every night Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala extends his hand of forgiveness. He is willing to forgive the sins of the day. The problem is, are we willing to go into the divine court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to seek forgiveness? I want to mention to you two stories which highlight the benefits of tawbah and nasuha. Perhaps you may have heard the story before, but let us remind ourselves as far as the lesson is concerned. Because the maqsad is not the story. Today we like stories because it's enjoyable, but we don't draw the lesson from the story. In the hadith it is mentioned, there was one man in the times gone by, he had killed 99 people. So he went to a person who was pious but who had no knowledge. And he told him, I have killed 99 people. Is there any opportunity for me to make tawbah? This man said, 99 people, forget about it. So he thought, then why must I get stuck on 99? Let me complete my century. He killed him as well. After a while, that remorse overtook him. He went to a learned person. He said, listen, I have killed 100 people. Is there any room for tawbah? This man told him, wallahi, your sins, not only your sins, the collective sins of insan from the time of Adam alayhi salatu wassalam until the day of Qiyamah, it is nothing compared to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is greater than all of that. He encouraged him to go to a particular city and to dwell with the pious people of that city so that he can reform his life. On his way, he passed away. Now the malaika who are in charge of giving reward, in charge of making a person comfortable if he was a good person, they came to claim his soul, thinking that this man was on his way to reform himself. He was on his way to change his life. The malaika of azab and punishment came at the same time. They said, no, this man had killed 100 people. He hasn't yet reached that town. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent another angel as an arbitrator between the two. And this angel said, see, let us measure the ground from where he left to where he was going. If it's closer to where he was going, then the malaika of rahmah and mercy will take his soul away. If it's closer to where he was coming from, then the malaika of adab and punishment will take his soul. The ulama mentioned when it was measured, it was closer to where he was coming from. But because he made tawbah and nasuha, Allah made it such that the ground moved to make it closer to where he was going to. So Allah made the ground move to accept the tawbah of his servant. That is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All we need to do is grab the opportunity with two hands. Talking about tawbah and nasuha, there was a lady in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This lady had committed adultery and she was married. The penal code is stoning to death. Nobody had reported her. Nobody knew about it. But she wants to be cleansed in this dunya. She wants to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a clean slate. She comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she says to Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, I committed zina, I'm pregnant, purify me. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told her, go back and give birth. After she gives birth, she comes back. She says, Ya Nabi, Allah, purify me. He says, the young child, you must breastfeed it. And we know the breastfeeding period is 2 years. After 2 years, she came and she shows Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the child can eat on his own. And thereafter, the had and the penal code is carried out against her. Now the ulama mentioned, let us contemplate. She had a period of 2 years, 9 months to retract her confession. She had a period of 2 years, 9 months to abscond and to run away. But her tawbah was so sincere that after 2 years and 9 months, she still came back and she said, Ya Rasulullah, purify me by meeting out the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon me. When one sahabi made a derogatory remark when her blood splattered on his clothes, while they were in the process of killing her, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if her tawbah was to be divided upon the entire Madinatul Munawwarah, it would suffice for every single individual. So this is an example of tawbatan nasuha. Today our tawbah is in itself worthy of tawbah. Our tawbah is of such an inferior quality that in itself it is worthy of tawbah. My time is up. I'll give you two more solutions as far as reformation of the heart is concerned. One, the ulama say, is muhasabah. Every night sit down and take stock of yourself. Whatever I have done good, ma asabaka min hasanatin fa min Allah, I attribute it to Allah. Whatever wrong I have done, I make tawbatan nasuha immediately with an intention not to do it again. Wallahi, try it for 1 week and we'll see the change in our life. Second point the ulama mentioned is muraqabah maut. Every night when we're going to bed, remember one night I'll be sleeping in my qabr. And think about the qabr, and think about the loneliness of the qabr, and think what will be of benefit for us in the qabr. Then we will see how we become more aware of the akhirah, more focused on the akhirah, more aware of what we are doing right and what we are doing wrong. And finally, I want to narrate, I started off with the tafsir of this particular verse. I want to narrate to you the story of Fudail bin Ayyad rahmatullah alim. This man was a highway robber, he was a thief. He used to rob people. You know, caravans used to come, he was notorious. And they used to know we must abstain from that road where, you know, Fudail normally plies his trade. So one day he fell in love with this woman. And he was scaling the wall to go and meet the woman. And as he was scaling to a wall to meet the woman, somebody not far away was making tilawat of the Quran. And he was reciting this verse upon which I base my discussion today. أَلَمْ يَأْنِنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ. That has the time not come for the hearts of the believers to submit to Allah's remembrance and the truth that has been revealed. In other words, to submit to the instructions of the Quran. He was on that wall. He was about to go and meet that beloved woman of his with whom he was having an affair. He heard the recitation of the Quran. He said, oh Allah, you're asking the question I have to answer. The time has come for me to change my life. Immediately there and there he made tawbah and nasuha. Allah granted him such tawfiq. He resolved the matters with all whom he had robbed. And he went to Makkah al-Mukarramah. And he went there and he became a great abid and a great worshipper. Until today he is remembered by the title of Abid al-Haramain, the great worshipper of the two Haramain. Many books have been written on his life story. Many ulama quote his sayings and they quote his instructions and his advices. Remember, this man was a highway robber and look at the change. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one of us has committed such a sin which is beyond the mercy of Allah. And no one of us, collectively as well, we have not committed so much sin that is beyond the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All we need to do is ask and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us. I conclude with what I said in the beginning. The greatest need of the time, the greatest challenge of the time is for us to remove the hardness from our heart. And in order for us to do that, Islah and reformation is necessary and it is imperative. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq and understanding. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.